Hi, friends. I'm Kara Kay, and this is the Asking for a Friend podcast, a show for the woman who has questions about herself, the church, and the world. We are all asking hard questions that affect us as women in the culture that surrounds us, and we are looking for a safe place to ask them. But don't worry, I know you're only asking for a friend. Hey, friends, welcome to another episode of Asking for a Friend. I'm so excited you guys are here this week. I have Kat with me this week, Kat Armstrong, and she's the author of an amazing book that just came out called The In-Between Place. And she's an author, a Bible teacher, a podcast host. She also is the co-founder of an organization called the Polish Network, which is a nonprofit organization that connects and gathers professional women to navigate their career and explore their faith. And so Kat just does a lot of amazing things, and I'm excited to sit down with her and talk today. So Kat, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm so glad to spend some time with you today. I feel like I've watched you on social media and listened to some shows. So this is such a delight for me.
I know. It's so fun. I feel like it's funny when I read like your bio and things about you, and I've watched you, and I'm like, why have we never connected? We have so many things in common. We're both pastors' wives. I'm in seminary right now, and you, you're a seminary grad. So you have a master's in Christian education. Is that right?
Yeah. And I'm actually applying to doctoral programs this year. I'm looking
at my
New Testament context. Where do you go to school?
Fuller.
Oh yeah. Oh my goodness. Such
I
a good
love call. It so much. So yeah, highly recommend it. So fun. Well, congrats on the new book.
It's thank you. It's right here.
Yay. I love it. I have it in front of me too.
Awesome.
I am so excited for you. There's nothing like launching a book into the world. It's like having another baby. And so
it's so true. Great. I'm telling people it's like a birthing process.
It really is.
Longer. You know, at least with my son, it was 9 months. Mm-hmm. And with a book, sometimes it's 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So this was a long time in the making, you know, a lot of, and when I write people about it, I tell them it was born in a lot of pain that Jesus is redeeming. Mm-hmm. And a lot of women who have had a child or watched a friend have a child know that most beautiful things in life sometimes are born out of a lot of hardship.
Yes. Yes. And I get that because I have an adoptive son. And so my listeners know that I've shared my story some on the show, but that type of situation comes from so much pain and so much heartache, but then there's so much joy in it too. And so I feel that so much. Will you kick us off and just share a little bit of your story of where this book came from, where the message came from, what your in-between place looked like?
Yeah, I think I started to feel in between as early as high school and coming to faith in Christ. Most of the people I went to school with at a Christian private high school had known Jesus their whole lives. And I knew about him, but I didn't have a personal relationship with him until I was 16. So if I'm honest with you, I think this in-between thing has been a life theme for me. Mm. And it's taken different forms. Sometimes I felt in between in crowds at school, or trying to find my place in my spiritual walk, or trying to figure out how to be a pastor's wife who also has a very strong identity in my own self. Mm-hmm. And has, you know, has a career outside of what my husband does.
Right.
In a tradition, a church tradition, where it's not your traditional pastor's wife role.
Right.
So I think that this has just been a theme that has followed me, but I remember really getting excited about the scriptures for the first time. I went to First Baptist of Houston. And at the time, there was a really Southern lady teaching a Sunday school class for adults only. And I was in high school. And I started skipping youth group and going to this class because I heard so many good things about this lady. And it turns out it was Beth Moore. At the time, like, I didn't know anything about her.
Right, right.
Her growing reputation outside of our church. But I tell you that part of my story as it relates to the book and what we're talking about today, hope, finding hope, is that I found a lot of hope in that I could read the scriptures for myself. And it set me on this lifelong course to learn more about Jesus through the scriptures. And so I had an opportunity to go to Israel a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Life-changing. I mean,
oh, everybody absolutely. Everybody go. You have to go.
Yes. Doesn't matter what it costs. When you, I know it's like an arm and a leg. You got to do it.
Yeah.
But it changed my life just like everybody else. But I was, you know, Kara Kay, I was there with only women to study only women in the Bible.
Which wow. Okay. I want to take that trip.
Yes. And you need to go with Dr. Reverend Jackie Reese. She's my favorite preacher on the whole planet Earth, besides my husband, of course.
Of course. Of course.
But she, so we were in Israel. It was on Mother's Day and we had ridden an armored van to Samaria. There were bombings going off because it was the 70th Independence Day for Israel. And I remember overlooking modern day Samaria. Mm-hmm. And Jackie was teaching on Dinah, because Dinah in Genesis 34 was raped in a place called Shechem in Samaria. And then literally the next sentence out of her mouth was, we have an announcement from Ronnie, our tour guide. And Ronnie said, this is also the place where Jesus had his conversation with the woman at the well.
Oh.
And I remember, Kara Kay, you should have seen me. I was like, wait,
what?
Somebody time out for me. I never thought about this, because one is Shechem. When is Shechem in the Old Testament, Sychar in the New Testament? Are those the same place? So I went to my Bible concordance. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's the same place where Jacob's well was. Mm-hmm. And so I went back and started doing research on putting these two women's stories next to each other, because maybe like you, there's an important, a physical location that means something to you. Mm. For me, there's a very special place in my heart that every time I visit there, I feel near to Jesus, or it's got a history and it's hard.
Right.
So I wanted to look at, how does this place show up in the scriptures, and why are these two women's stories happening in the same place, and are they connected? And I think they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. That it is one of my favorite stories. And it's interesting because I just took a New Testament class last quarter, and I wrote a paper on John 4 and took that deep dive into it, and was like, I was in the same place. Like, oh my gosh, mind blown. This is incredible. Just looking at the history and the importance of the conversation that they had, and oh, all those details. It's just, it's amazing. So I think that the place that we find ourselves in, the year that we find ourselves in, we're not in 2020 anymore, but you know, I think so many of us thought, oh, we're going to just be in 2021 and everything's going to be amazing. And then we're here now and we're like, oh wait, not that much has changed. It's still hard. I think a lot of people are finding themselves in that in-between place right now, whether they've lost someone, they've lost a job, they're questioning things. There's just been so many things that I see people really struggling and battling in this season, that our world is going through. What does that look like? What does that look like for the people in that in place, and how can they find hope in that?
Yeah, I think this is such an important question, and I'm really glad we're going to spend most of our time talking just about this.
Yeah.
I think anyone who's listening right now, I think everyone listening right now is in an in-between place.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about the theology behind that, and then I want to talk about the application behind it. Theologically speaking, everybody is in an in-between place, because we're in between Jesus's resurrection and his second coming, when he's going to make all things right. So if you're listening today, or if you're between a rock and a hard place, emotionally, spiritually, physically, financially, yes, of course you are, because we are still on the struggle bus in some ways, because we anticipate God's going to come back. He's going to right all the wrongs. He's going to redo it all. And we're going to be there to see it. And it's going to be awesome. But we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. So pain and joy coexist, hardship, divorce, miscarriage, you name it. We are all suffering through what it means to be a human on this side of Jesus returning. And so we're all in between places, but I think you're right. I think 2020, and this book was written 2.5 years ago. It's by God's providence and his timing that it's coming out now.
I thought about that. I was like, I mean, this isn't like you wrote this last fall. Like, how amazing that God used this to come out now in this season, because it's just what people need.
Well, I ended up adding a chapter about COVID-19 and how depleted I was and the emotional burnout I was already suffering with. And then you compile that.
Right.
I was feeling despair and depression because of COVID-19. But the rest of the book was written before I'd ever Googled how to, you know, make my own face mask.
Right.
Or, you know, Googled how to make my own hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
But, you know, on this side of things, here we are early in 2021, and you're right, not a whole lot has changed. I mean, we feel the renewal and the hope of a new year and the newness, and that's good. We should feel that. But not everyone's got the vaccines that they're going to take it or not. The political unrest is still, you know, that's still happening, even though the election was months ago. I mean, we just got a lot of stuff. Yeah. And then never mind, you drill down in Kara K and you talk about loss. Yeah. I mean, we're just so depleted from, I have lost friends and family and loved ones, not just to COVID, but just your, you know, life ending.
Right.
And so it's been really hard. And I think we're all looking for hope.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that a lot of times people will look to people like us and think, oh my gosh, you're a pastor's wife, you're an author, you speak to groups, you obviously have it all together. You obviously have it all figured out. And at the exactly the way you laughed and the look on your face, it's like, I think people just have this thing in their mind, just like we look at celebrities and we think, oh my gosh, their life is so perfect. You know, I think that that has been hard for me to figure out the balance between vulnerability and being that person that is a leader. What has that been like for you? Was that a struggle in writing your story here?
It's always a struggle. And you know it as well as I do. Mm-hmm. It's always a struggle. You know, as a pastor's wife, you mentioned that particular role in my life is such a treasured role. I'm just so honored to stand next to my man who I believe is just so in love with Jesus and he's the real deal. It's hard. Mm-hmm. You know, you in many ways being his counterpart means I hear a lot of really hard stories before they get to the elder board and not because he's telling me. Yeah. So this is not a breach of trust. It's not a breach of privacy. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that many times women feel more comfortable talking to another woman before going to the elder board. When we're talking about domestic abuse, domestic violence, adultery, pornography, addictions, bankruptcies, you name it. I didn't even go into the stuff that I think would freak people out. Those are kind of like, those happen every other day. Mm-hmm. And so when you're in church life, you know deeply the struggles that people have that maybe no one else in the church knows they're going bankrupt. Maybe no one else in the church knows that they are separated and living apart or that they just lost a child, you know, they just had a miscarriage. And so I think that's a very weighty burden that was hard to carry in 2020, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I was already emotionally burnt out spiritually. Then you add COVID, then you add my ministry with Polished, you know, all of our events shutting down. And then on top of that, hoping to carry other people's burdens to the cross and point them back to Jesus as a pastor's wife, it can be very challenging. There's also a lot of, I wouldn't say holding people's secrets because they're not things that shouldn't be said. It's just, you're the holder of a lot of private information.
Yeah.
You're entrusted with a lot. And I think that's a heavy burden.
It is.
So yeah, I mean, I think, and you always wonder if something I put in the book is going to harm his job because I don't work at the church.
Right.
You know, and I'm speaking from personal experience. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
Yeah. I always tell my husband, please let me know if I'm going to get you fired with something I say or write.
Well, and a lot of times now we have a rule where I'm like, you know, especially if it's, there was a lot of difficulty at our church in 2020 around racial disunity.
Yeah.
And I think I can go there with you and talk to you about this.
Yeah.
But you know, my husband preached one of the most amazing sermons I've ever heard after George Floyd was murdered. Mm-hmm. And it was such a timely message. And there were a lot of ruffled feathers. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And so we've had to walk through that, you know, in invoking change and doing it in a gracious way.
Yeah.
But you know, these are hard times to lead through.
It is. Yeah.
You get it.
Yeah, I absolutely get it. It is such a challenge. I want to go back and talk about the Samaritan woman a little more because I love her so much. I love her story. Let's talk about what we can learn from that interaction with Jesus. How can we find hope in that interaction?
Yeah, I really outlined in my book three different sections that I think lead us to hope. One is making peace with our past. And I think in light of 2020, we have a lot of losses to lament and to be honest about how deeply those things impacted us. Mm-hmm. And I think the second section of the book is about finding hope in your present. You know, many of us are still stuck at home or still schooling our children online or still, even if your kids have gone back to school, even if you were back at your office, the world is different now.
Yeah.
It's a different place, right? And so even the economy, everything is different. There's so much uncertainty. I can't really make plans even for next week because I just don't know what's going to happen. So I think finding hope in your present is really important. I want to talk a couple ways that you can do that. And then I think the last part of the book really speaks to how do you step confidently into your future? Mm-hmm. And I actually needed this section of the book more after COVID than when I wrote it. Because at the time, stepping confidently in my future felt like just making the next right step, which is awesome. Except in a pandemic when you're like, well, we don't know.
I don't even know what tomorrow's step is. Yeah.
So let me give you some practical things.
Yes, please do.
Okay. So the first thing that I would recommend for finding hope in this uncertain time is number one, remind yourself that every step of your journey has purpose. I know we don't want to hear it right now because we're like, yeah. When it's over, maybe Kat, I'll be able to comprehend that.
Yeah.
Like go back to a time when God delivered you from something else.
Right.
Go farther back, way before 2020 or 2019, and think about his faithfulness. I know this seems trite, but Kara Kay, it is proven if you go back and like almost like stones of remembrance and say, you know what? This is the God who carried me through. I know his character. I know he won't leave me. I know he will be faithful to me. I know he will provide for me. I know he has the whole world in his hands. So I think that's number one. I think number two, remember that, I hope I can say this word, crappy places can be redeemed.
That's right.
So in my book, I talk a lot about how Jesus met the Samaritan woman in Samaria, which is a place he should not have been in. No Jewish person would have gone to. He crosses all of these boundaries to have this longest recorded conversation in the New Testament with her. It's profound. And so if Shechem or Sychar, if we could give it a title, it would be a crappy place.
Yeah.
Bad things happen there. No one should have been there. Talk about an in-between. And yet Jesus goes there. He goes to our do not enter zones. And so I want to encourage women to imagine where, and I'm talking about physically imagine, where would Jesus be in the stickiest circumstance you have? Is he holding you? What does that look like? Is he hugging you? Is he embracing you? Is he sitting next to you? Is he shoulder to shoulder? Is he holding your hand? Is he blocking the enemy? You know what? I think when we use our imagination to picture Jesus's presence, the same way he had presence with the woman at the well, we find a lot of hope reminding ourselves, oh yeah, I can't see him, but he's here.
Yeah.
He's guarding me. He's holding me. He's protecting me. I think another thing you can remind yourself of is this mantra that Jesus is not done with you yet. Jesus is not done yet. You know, so we feel like, oh, it's over. My life is over. My marriage is over. My work is over. My company is over. You know, I'm just, oh, it's all coming to a crash. But the truth is, Jesus isn't done. You know, like there's still more of your story to be written, and he's the author of it. And then I think another really practical thing, and this is the last thing I'll leave you with, is just finding safe people to share your story with.
Yes.
We feel really disconnected from one another. Maybe you haven't been to a worship service in person in months. Maybe your whole small group, you know, is immunocompromised, so they can't meet with you. And maybe your best friends, you can't talk to them as much because they're homeschooling, virtual schooling. Mm-hmm. So this has been a hard time to maintain relationships and dive into community. And so we may have to think a little smaller. Who's one or two people that are really safe where we could share our hearts with them? And I want to just leave you with this idea that when Jesus approaches the woman at the well, he already knows her story. Mm-hmm. He knows the question he's going to ask her. He knows how she's going to answer. He knows she's been married five times. He already knows she's living with someone who's not her husband. He knows. And yet he asks her to be a part of this conversation. He asks her probing questions. Mm-hmm. He wanted to have a conversation with her. He wanted to spend time with her. And he wanted to hear her story from her perspective.
Yeah.
And so I think when we share our story with saved people, we do what Jesus does with his people. Mm-hmm. Invite people to share, you know, what's really on their heart. And I'll tell you, my life is filled with hope when I remember, okay, Jesus is not done. In fact, I can imagine him in this office with me right now, working shoulder to shoulder with me and saying, I've got your back.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got one person in my life besides my husband where I can really share my truth. Mm-hmm. And that fills me with hope.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I love, you said in the book, and I'm probably going to butcher this, however exactly you said it, but you said something about how the most meaningful moments in faith, in your faith, have come during the in-between season. And that just really stood out to me because that has been true for me as well. And I think sometimes we try to avoid those in-between seasons. We try to, jump through them or fast forward through them, but it's those seasons that I have had the biggest growth in my faith, the biggest encounters with God that have been so meaningful. And those are always the places that I come back and say, but look what God did here. Look what he did in the season where I was saying, God, are you even real? Are you even there? Do you see me? And is my work worth it? Is everything I'm doing even worthy of putting your name on it? And when I was asking those questions, or when I, you know, when I had three babies under the age of three and I couldn't get out of bed because I was so depressed and so overwhelmed that I met God there. He met me there in that place. And he was laying there as you were talking about, just imagining that. I remember that I just would feel his presence so strong in those moments when I just couldn't get out of bed in the morning. And it was like, he just wrapped his arms around me and would pick me up basically and carry me to pick my babies up out of bed because I didn't feel like I could do it one more day. Yeah. And so, yeah, I just want to encourage anybody listening in the same thing, just imagine that. And there's something so powerful in that. And don't try to rush through those in-between seasons.
Yeah. Yeah, because we don't want anyone to stay stuck. You know,
yes, no.
Right now, we want you out. However, God does seem to have really meaningful moments with us when we are in total desperation. Does that mean I'm hoping that you feel desperate? No, I don't want you in a bad position or struggling through life. But I think a lot of hope comes when we go, you know what? If I'm going to hear from him, if he ever had an opportunity to get through to me, now's the time. Because everything else has failed me. There doesn't seem to be any like hopeful future for me in this particular season, relationship, job, you fill in the blank.
Right.
That's when I think Jesus can be so loudly heard. And heard, you know what I mean? It's when his word comes alive and you're like, oh my gosh, I needed that. I needed that.
Right.
I think the desperation, our needing him means we become more available to him meeting that need. Yeah. So it can be a really special place that we don't want to miss. We don't want to grumble our way through and drudge our way through the in-between places in our lives. We want to make ourselves available the way the woman at the well did. She dropped her jug after that encounter and ran to tell other people about it. And so I think that's kind of the model for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Would you just leave us with an encouragement for the woman who's finding herself today in that in-between place and she feels stuck and she feels without hope. Would you just give a little message of encouragement of hope?
Yeah, I want to remind you that in John chapter 4, verse 1, John says that Jesus had to go to Samaria. And we know that doesn't mean that Jesus was without option, the way we use it in English. It means that there was divine purpose.
Yeah.
He was on a mission. If there was something that was going to happen in his ministry on earth, Jesus was going to talk to this woman at the well, because he goes into our do not enter zones. He goes into the hardest places in our lives. He meets us in that messy middle, and that it is his presence that fills us with hope. And so I would say to the woman who is depleted and weary and depressed and wondering, where am I going to find hope? It will be in Jesus's presence. And I guarantee you, if you do not have the energy or the hope or the faith to get to him or to flag him down, you can know he has to go to you. His love compels him to be near to you, and he will find a way to make his way to be with you And that's the good news for me, is when I feel hopeless, I don't have to work up some hope to get some more. Hope is on the way. His name is Jesus, and he is coming for us.
Well, I needed that today. So thank you. I appreciate you being with me today. This has been such a great conversation. Will you just tell my listeners where they can find you, where they can get your book, all the things?
Absolutely. Go to my website, go to catarmstrong.com. I've got some cool resources there for women, all sorts of podcast episodes. And then of course you can buy the book there. And then I live on Instagram. I mean, I'm embarrassed about it. So many times a day. So my DMs are open. I usually respond if they're not weird. So I would love to talk to you.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, thank you, Kat. I appreciate the conversation and the encouragement today.
Thanks, Kara Kay.
I'm Kara Kay James, and you've just listened to the Asking for a Friend podcast. I hope you are inspired and encouraged by these conversations to step out of the status quo and engage in conversations that matter. You can find the show notes for this episode and subscribe at karakjames.com/podcast. I also love connecting with you on Instagram and Facebook. I am at karakjames. You can also subscribe to my newsletter at karakjames.com/newsletter. This podcast is meant to provide you with a safe space to work through the questions you have about yourself, the church, and the world around you. Please never hesitate to reach out to me if you need a safe place to land. Thanks for listening, and keep asking questions for a friend.